blue and white at night. We own the night. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Center ice. So now Dermott with a goal. Bogosian looking to. And now another puck in front of the net, and Mikheyev, the soup man, has finally stirred a little bit of something into the soup, and he has his first goal of the year.
How about that? 411 days later, prayers answered. Leafs doubled up the Canadiens 4-2. Toronto has won four straight and eight of nine. That's right, a nine-game point streak for the Buds. Just keep on going here. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick here on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll have the season debut of Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada coming up later on in the show. And we'll hear the pre-usuals on Zoom, including Sheldon Keefe, another victory on the road for the Maple Leafs, Gordo.
Yeah. Got to be happy as well. We talked about, you know, with the injuries and the balance and depth and all that coming into play. And look who gets the goal tonight. Travis Dermott back in the lineup. Justin Hull only had two goals last year, gets one. And Ilya Mikheyev, I think you mentioned, his first goal in 411 days. It was Dermott's first goal in 405 days. So wasn't the usual suspects like Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, but the Leafs, and we mentioned the number one thing, the it factor, finding a way to win. And again, bang, bang, like the Vancouver Canucks found out the other night, they strike twice in a short period of time. And that's when you kind of sat back and started breathing easy if you are a Leaf fan.
You're right. It's all about the quick strike offense. Two games in a row, 2-11 seconds the other night against the Vancouver Canucks. 2-42 tonight leads to this 4-2 win. Can't say enough great things about Sokolov's own Zach Hyman. Was outstanding again tonight, Gordo.
Was he ever? Oh. He got ripped off on getting that. Like, they were going to start the period. As a matter of fact, the second period sheets showed that a penalty had been drawn by the Maple Leafs, and Edmondson was the only penalty, so they're going to be on the power play. And then the phantom dive was called against Hyman.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, brutal. Yeah, again, there was a brutal call in the first period against Shea Weber. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. Leafs overcome it as a team. And Zach Hyman, let's see his ice time, because he always plays he's playing a ton of ice time right now. 18-23 wasn't as much as I thought, but still out there all the time. Empty netters. He's the most trustworthy forward out there. So, and he loves his apples, his empty net goals, but he's the guy that gets the puck out and then he gets over the red line. I'm glad, because they say you can ice it now and analytics say you can ice it. I say forget it. Get over the line. He must have a real good pool or snooker table in his basement, because he kind of just has that nice feel feathering it in.
Well, he's just reliable, right? Like, he just knows where to be defensively speaking, which leads to opportunity. And it also is just the weird nuances in the game. Like, I always chuckle that Martin Jones is the best goaltender in the shootout. Like, the guy can't make a save in regulation, gets to the shootout, he always wins. Won again last night for the San Jose Sharks. And to that point, again, I just think Hyman's become really, really reliable. And again, part of this Maple Leafs victory, 4-2 against the Montreal Canadiens. Now, without a shadow of a doubt, Gord, the Rhoda Stellick turning point in this game happening in the second period. John Tavares, the captain, leaves this game after a melee with Shea Weber. You know, head hits the ice, bleeding everywhere.
Cut and bloodied.
Everything. It was like a blade job from 1998 WWF style.
Adrian.
Exactly.
Adrian.
Comes back. Two apples. Like, that just personified what you want and what you need in this market as a captain. And he goes about his job. John Tavares, I believe, has what, 14 points, 15 points in 14 games now?
Well, and the other part about it is, like, the greasy area.
Yeah.
And he's so, I love that all these elite players have different elite skills. And he doesn't have the flash and panache that Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner have, but the greasy area. And he played a really greasy game. And then him and Willie Nylander, wow. And Willie Nylander, part of the problem is the inconsistency about those kind of shifts, but they almost pulled a highlight reel goal of the ages, the two of them together. Didn't quite go in, but it's just fun to watch. And hey, if you're a Montreal Canadian fan too, they're a fun team to watch. They really are a fun team. Even the Leafs outplayed them tonight. Leafs deserve the win, but certainly there's a lot. The Montreal Canadiens really have their act together and playing a real good style of hockey.
Quite honestly, I think my biggest positive to gain from this game, and, you know, I had to look up and see that Montreal had, what, 35 shots? I think defensively speaking, the Maple Leafs actually held Montreal in check in this game. Like, outside of Josh Anderson, outside of maybe the last 5 minutes, Tatar scores on the doorstep, I thought from a defensive standpoint, the Maple Leafs had one of their better games of the season, which again is interesting to say because they surrendered 35 shots on goal. But let's not forget, Montreal came into this game, I believe, third in the league with 4 goals per game. And I just think they really limited the time and space for the Habs in this game.
Yeah, 35-24 shots favoring Montreal. I'd say scoring chances 20-10 for Toronto or something like that. But, you know, that's the style Barry Trotz plays. And again, when they look at analytics, one big thing they look at is zone time. And the amount of time you have the puck in the offensive zone is obviously a positive. But Barry Trotz and the Leafs tonight go, not so fast. Guess what? If you got the puck in the offensive zone, but you're out against the boards where we want you to be, you can have it all you want. And you can, you know, you can eat up time or put time there, add to your time in the offensive zone, but you're not getting to the area where it really counts. And I think that, to your point, Nick, was a lot what we saw from the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
And certainly we are early on in this season. The Maple Leafs game 14 for them, Montreal game 13. But suddenly you look at the standings and we talk about distance. You know, now a 5-point gap in the standings. Again, these two teams back together at Scotiabank Arena coming up on Saturday night. But a 5-point gap in the standings between Toronto and Montreal, and 7 between Toronto and Edmonton, who currently holds third in this division.
And that's what we talk about. Last year, there was a step back for the Maple Leafs that I think also, even though there was a gap before the bubble, they just never got going, and they didn't get going in the bubble. The Toronto Maple Leaf team, as it's constituted, whether they're in the Atlantic Division or this year in the North Division, have no business not being in the playoffs easily in the regular season, okay? No business whatsoever. So last year, they dug themselves a huge hole. The unthinkable happened, the coaching change. And then they got out of the hole. But then they didn't have the it factor to put the hammer down. They're battling with the Florida Panthers for a final playoff spot. I mean, it was they had the spot, but it was in peril. And that's what you're getting now. They're saying, okay, if there's going to be a have and have not in our division, we are going to be a have. And that's what I'm loving about it. I said just that factor about finding. I mean, Carey Price, what are the odds tonight? You're the big odd guy, but you said, okay, Toronto scores 3 goals, and it's by the first 3 goals with a goaltender in on Carey Price are Dermott, Mikheyev, and Justin Hull. I mean, odds would be off the roof, right? So,
for sure.
So that's what's great about it. All of a sudden, when you need it from those guys, they come up with it.
Well, that's the thing, right, is the depth scoring. And again, we talked about it in the pregame show. Joe Bowen brought it up as well. Supi Mikheyev was overdue, right? Came into this game, 20 shots on goal, zeros across the board when it came to offense. And it's just so amazing to me watching this sport when somebody scores a goal and they've been in a slump, how it goes to your legs. And there was a play after that goal where Supi was skating so fast, he overskated the puck, Gord.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just tremendous, you know, how much confidence goes to a player when they score a goal.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And just, the next time he went into overdrive. But, and we mentioned, and Sheldon Keefe has mentioned that the big thing is he has not scored, but he's doing the other things. And that's always huge, because if they're not doing the other things, then it's a problem. But he did the other. They just showed a great view. So Montreal got a 1-0 lead on Josh Anderson goal. We hadn't seen this view before, that just over a minute into the game. So it gives Montreal 1-0 lead. He finished it. He created it a big way by a great hit on Jake Muzzin. And it shows now a view from the Montreal bench when Muzzin didn't. He went in, wasn't going to go over. But guess who pretended to try to help him? Corey Perry. Mm. Corey Perry's sitting on the bench, and he gets Muzzin would not have got back into the play, but Corey Perry gives a little like, I'm pretending to help, but I'm actually holding you for one Steamboat from getting back in the play.
Veteran savvy, Gord. Yes. And again, that rivalry back in the day with Anaheim and Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right about that. Yeah. Jeez, you're right about that. Just, hey, what are those little things? And you know what? Montreal's got it too. These are the two best teams. These are the teams that have the most character and grit right now in the North Division. And look, I think, you know, we'll talk more about other teams as they come around, and they will. I got to believe, like, the Winnipeg Jets, for example, will be competitive, what have you. But right now, these are the two teams that are going at it the best.
And again, it just makes me laugh. You take a peek at the standings, and it's like you still can't get away from the Boston Bruins and the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Bees win again tonight. Brad Marchand, the OT winner on Broadway, and Tampa doesn't lose games. Like, it just shows you that these teams are going nowhere. And I, for one, don't think the North Division will be a thing following this COVID season. It just shows you there's some strong teams. Now you add Montreal too.
Well, yeah. And I mentioned both, we've all said both Montreal and Toronto had to kind of get a sigh of relief and go, good, we don't wake up with the President's Trophy champions, the Boston Bruins, and the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Stanley Cup champions in our division. So that's kind of neat. But then at this point, and we've mentioned it a few times, and we will repeat it, it's kind of saying, geez, we'd really like to see our team. And Montreal fans would feel the same way. Let's get a game against Boston. Let's get a game against Tampa Bay. Like, let's go into that deep end of the pool and see what it's like battling those guys. Well, as we know, it'll just be in the playoffs for whichever of the seven North Division teams get out of it.
Again, that's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 of the Fan. The Maple Leafs win again. That's right, 4 in a row, 8 of 9. They win 4-2 here at the Bell Center in Montreal. These two teams get back together at Scotiabank Arena on Saturday night. A game we'll have for you again here on Sportsnet 590 of the Fan at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. If you'd like to chime in, I think another huge factor for me in this game, Gordo, you score 4 goals. Again, granted, one was an empty netter, but none from the big boys. The streak of 8 games in a row for Austin Matthews. This is a good building thing for this team. The fact that you don't have to rely on these guys all the time. It's good to have those games where they're not on the score sheet and you still find a way to win the hockey game.
Yeah, and my buddy John Anderson is sighing a sigh of relief. He's got the record 11 consecutive games. Of course, there's the odd John Anderson burger still in the Toronto area. So that streak ends for Austin Matthews, and you know he'll get one. I mean, it's going to be fun. He's going to be going for the Rocket Richard Trophy last year, just like when he was battling David Pastrnak and Ovechkin right to the abbreviated end. And so the other part is, they did not give up a power play goal. So they had given up power play goals in 8 consecutive games, had the Maple Leafs. So the PK was a positive. So there's an individual stat in Matthews' consecutive game streak that goes by the wayside, but there's one that they like to put by the wayside. No 9 consecutive games giving up a power play goal.
Yeah, you're right on that front. And again, I was a little fired up off air about the Hyman embellishment call, but we'll leave it alone because it actually led to a 4-on-4 goal. I was.
But that's a great part about these kind of games, right? That's the great part about these kind. We also acknowledged it was a terrible call on Shea Weber in the first period. I keep going back to, from being not a ref at any great levels, but I love doing it. It was good, easy money. I don't think I was bad at the level I was doing it, but don't call something you don't see. Like if you miss something, you miss something. Don't call something you don't see.
And again, you know, just my huge gripe with it. It's not like it was somebody else. Like it's Zach Hyman. He's routinely the hardest working guy on the ice, at least the top three. And you're going to call him for embellishment. You know, upon further review, maybe he helped the call along, but who doesn't look, you know, go for a call in this league? I mean, it's the same in the NBA all the time, and that's a different story. But I mean, that was my huge issue with it. It was the fact that it was Zach Hyman and nobody else, you know?
That's where, you know, you were, it's like the old Karate Kid that I was the wise sage and you were the young protege.
True.
And I did tell you, don't engage on social media
with
someone that was
going at it.
Yeah. Someone that put a line in there for you to do the big old tug. Right. And at the end of it, we're all good there and we're all good.
No, we're
move
great.
On, right.
We're gravy.
Okay, good.
We're gravy. Good. Just the officiating. I just don't want them to get involved. I'm just setting the path for later on this season. I would love the officials to stay out of it. I want Montreal and Toronto to decide this division, not the officials, Gordo.
Yeah, and you know, and you take a look tonight, okay, Mark Jonette and then Michael Markovic. Now, Michael Markovic's a new official. I'm not saying, I have no idea who called the penalties now. Without exhibition games and a lot of things, it's not ideal circumstances for them either. I don't know why I'm making excuses for everybody right
you
now,
are.
But
you're,
yeah, I know. But
you're a zebra
but
guy now.
I'm being a bit of a, not a contrarian kind of.
I like
hey,
that in you.
It's Leaf world, right? They're winning. They're on a roll. Food tastes better. The air is fresher, you know,
you're right.
in
I
COVID
would,
world.
Yeah. I would let this pass. I will let this pass because the Maple Leafs won. Had they not won, I'd probably be a bit more fired up on the broadcast. So I'll digress on that front. The Maple Leafs improving to 2-0-0, 2 of 10 in this season with Montreal. And again, a 5-point gap here in the standings. Again, coming up later on, Chris Johnston of Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca will break it all down for us. And again, the Maple Leafs, again, outside of the first goal, Josh Anderson scores. Like you hate to see that from your goaltender, just the way it went in. I get it. But I think Frederik Andersen rebounded. And again, a lot was from the outside. Like again, the Maple Leafs surrender 35 shots on goal in this game, but from a defensive point of view, like I was pretty impressed. You know, this was a big time test for me. Granted, you know, it's just 2 games against Montreal, but one of the more elite teams goal scoring wise in this division, in this league. And I thought Toronto did a really good job of keeping them to the outside in this game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we mentioned after the first period, it was just weird that that was the only scoring chance Montreal seemed to have. And the Leafs had had, say, about 6, including one by Hyman before the goal in the first minute, before first 30 seconds before Montreal scored that goal. But just didn't get him on net, just whatever, puck bouncing, shooting wide, not even on the post or crossbar. So eventually you keep going at it, you keep working, and those kind of shots start going in, even though from the most unlikely of players.
And one of the things I'll be looking forward to seeing as the season goes on, I wonder if the Maple Leafs have a bit of a book on Carey Price, which is hard. Clearly one of the best goaltenders on this planet, but a lot upstairs tonight. Certainly on the Mikheyev one, that was a fantastic pass, first and foremost, to get him the puck. But Justin Hall, the clapper, Dermott goes shelf. You know,
I remember the Carey Price press conference when he'd had a couple of tough games and somebody just brought it up about what it may be. He has a good way of handling people
that way.
Coy. But
yeah.
But hey, anybody has a not a weak area, but let's call it their least strong area. How about that? So you're right. You know, and nowadays the way things are scouted and the knowledge, and it's not, no one's going down haphazard on any situation right away. So even as good a goaltender as there is arguably in the game right now, still, there are better ways to beat them.
Per Sportsnet Stats, who we always applaud for their efforts here on Leafs Nation postgame, best 14-game starts in Maple Leafs history. Of course, now 11-2-1. The closest thing was 93-94, 11-1-2, Gordo.
Remember that well. You know, that's the strength. They had that great run in 93, started 94 with 10 consecutive wins, and then had a better run, or a same kind of run, but lost in the final to Vancouver, the conference final, in five games. And then just plummeted to earth after that. That's a whole other story about getting the money shorts and what happens back then. That won't be an issue anymore for Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. Actually, more of an issue nowadays is an ownership group that would be willing to spend, and now you got the cap.
Very well said. The Maple Leafs feeling great about life. I wonder if they stop and get some hot dogs at La Belle Provence tonight. They deserve it. No doubt about that. A 4-2 win here for the Maple Leafs back home on Saturday to host the very same Montreal Canadiens. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. Other side, the postgame's starting to filter in a bit. Maybe we'll hear from Austin Matthews, Hall, and a couple others. And, of course, Sheldon Keefe, Chris Johnson still upcoming. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. Maple Leafs win it 4-2 here against the Montreal Canadiens. This is Leafs Nation pregame, or excuse me, postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Brings it back now to Hall, middle of the ice, winding and shooting, scores! Justin Hall rifles it from the blue line. And we talked about Montreal's defense scoring. The Leafs had just three coming into this game, and defensemen have scored both here tonight.
First goal in 19 for Justin Hall, part of a 4-2 win for the Maple Leafs on the road here in Montreal. Leafs Nation postgame continues here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. Again, still to come, Sheldon Keefe, Chris Johnson. And this will be the second appearance, my mistake, to clarify, for Chris Johnson on the program this season. We love having CJ on to share his thoughts. But Justin Hall looked like a guy who scored before, Gordo.
He scored twice last year, so he has scored before. And, Jake Muzzin got three assists as well. Give Jake credit. But on that defensive pairing, it's more credit to Justin Hall. He has been the steadier of the two. Mm. You know, and when you looked at the Leafs template, you viewed, okay, there's Morgan Rielly. You got Muzzin as a solid. Let's hope TJ Brody can fit in, and so on and so on and so on. So nice guys just shooting from the point, innocent enough looking shots, but they go in, and maybe that's the best way to beat Carey Price.
Yeah, and again, you're right, and certainly a prevailing story in this game. The fact that Austin Matthews doesn't score a goal and they still find a way to get the job done, right? I thought Matthews is okay in this game. I thought he was fine. That's the biggest thing for me this season, Gord, is that even when he's not producing, you notice him out there, don't you?
Yeah, Shea Weber was a -3. Now, I'm sure he would have been out there for the empty net as one of them, but he and the Montreal did a good job on Austin Matthews.
Yep.
They really did. They did a good job on the big guns. But saying that, Austin Matthews still gets an assist. Mm-hmm. He still gets three shots on goal, but he did not get open in those real dangerous areas. And that Montreal team has a real good team defense. But if you keep going and going like the Maple Leafs did tonight, you are going to eventually find a break somewhere.
Always think of the old saying, you can't stop him, you can only hope to contain him. And that truly is Austin Matthews in a nutshell. Speaking of Matthews, here's what he had to say postgame.
Hey, Austin, the team's relied so much on you and Mitch for offense this year. I'm just wondering what it does for the team and how nice it is to see, you know, a lot of guys get their first tonight.
mean, I think that's great. You know, you just build confidence throughout the lineup. You know, Dermy's been out for a bit. He comes back, scores a big, big goal for us. Hollow as well. Mickey gets his first. I mean, I think that's just all really positive stuff for us. You know, those guys start feeling it. They get confidence and, you know, they start rolling. So, you know, I think that's great. It was a huge win for us tonight as well.
How do you see the game play out, you know, in general? It looked a little bit like a last game. Just took you guys a little bit of time to get going, and then you sort of found your legs in the final period?
I thought the first 10, I thought they we just kind of weathered the storm there. But you know, I thought we started to get some opportunities, and then there was just periods in the game where, you know, they kind of put their foot on the gas and we were back on our heels and vice versa. So that's a good team over there. All throughout their lineup, they got a lot of depth, great goaltending, and they play really tight defensively. So I think it's, you know, a testament to our game tonight and just sticking with it. A couple of big goals by our guys and hanging on there at the end.
Next up, we'll go to Mark Masters, TSN. Go ahead, Mark.
Austin, Ilya gets his first of the season, but we know he's had his chances. What sort of offensive upside do you see for him?
Yeah, he's so fast, and I think you see it every night. You know, his ability to get around defenders and get in there on the forecheck first. And, you know, he's had plenty of instances this season where he's just blown by defense and he's hit crossbars or the goalies made good saves. And, you know, it's definitely frustrating at times for sure. And, you know, it's really nice to see him break through tonight. He's a big part of this team, you know, plays a really solid role for us. And, you know, it's always good to see those guys get going. And hopefully this leads to more and more goals for him.
What do you like about how the team is dealing with these tight games and maybe finding ways to win when you don't have your A game right out of the start? What's standing out in that respect?
I think just our structure defensively, just not panicking with the puck, staying inside and forcing them on the outside, trying to, you know, they're a good team again to the offensive net. And I thought we did a pretty decent job for the most part, keeping them away. Freddie made some big saves for us and just try to weather the storm when you have to. I think that's what good teams do. You know they're going to get their chances and get their looks. Just try to minimize that throughout the game, and Freddie came up with some big saves.
All right, there you have it. Austin Matthews via Windows 98 cord.
It is different.
Does he have solitaire on his computer there?
He's not the captain of the team. It's funny. He seems to speak more than Tavares nowadays, but I said that Dion Phaneuf, I say it all the time that I really liked him. He tried to be a real good captain, but his droning on and the team wasn't doing great became what you associated with negativity. Right now, the Leafs are winning now, so it's a positive. But Austin's got better at the post game stuff, even on Zoom.
Do you remember the mass hysteria? I think it was last year, but it seems like this year has been 700 days where Dion Phaneuf was at Scotiabank Arena and people were going crazy that Phaneuf was signing with the Leafs to play hockey again. Do you remember that?
Yes.
A long time ago.
I know. He is.
Sam McKee broke that. A great producer broke that on Twitter, and it blew up because it's Toronto.
It was, you know, Brian Burke went hunting with him last year. That's the one thing out in Calgary. That's the biggest Dion Phaneuf sighting I've got. I think, unfortunately, it's game, set, and match for him.
You never know, but I heard he was big in the room playing the boombox too, right?
I'm never in the room. I don't know. The room is the room. I don't get in the room.
Yeah, it is a good point, Gord. That's why you're a professional broadcaster. With that in mind, we will roll on. Justin Hull, again, I agree with your sentiments, and he's not really a guy that's talked about a lot, but like he is really, really improved from a defensive point of view. I think anytime you can have Justin Hull chip in offensively, and it just shows you, you know, be careful how you analyze a deal and you know, sort of the maturation of a player, because I think defensively speaking, it's been leaps and bounds. Maybe it's a long hair for Justin Hull. He's feeling good about life.
So he's one of those people that stylist has just disappeared.
Yeah.
And he turned 29 about a week ago, and good on him being the healthy scratch for so many games. 1 year and playing in the ECHL just a couple of years. It's Jeff Petrie on the Montreal Canadiens side. What a season he's having. Great story on sportsnet.ca as well, that like an interesting connection. We know his dad is Dan Petrie, a former major league pitcher, but through his wife's dad, his father-in-law, baseball guy in the Houston area who coached all three of Roger Clemens' kids. So
they banged trash cans there too, or
they didn't. They, it was before the trash can thing, but Jeff got to know Roger Clemens a little bit, and aside from what supplements telling him to take or not take,
I hope not.
He gave him great advice about the whole mental part of the game. So he gives that just a weird confluence of a connection that way, helping his mental part of the game.
We're on a roll tonight, and so are the Maple Leafs. They've won 4 in a row, 8 of 9. Here is Justin Hall.
Justin, congrats on the goal tonight. I wanted to talk a little bit about Freddie and what he's meant to you guys on nights when maybe you don't have your best game for a couple of periods. It takes you, keeps you, gets you to get you going, to keep you in games. What's he doing that you've been liking?
Totally. He's making a lot of saves. He's making critical saves too, with timely saves when we really need them. And he's allowing us to find our game, and he's allowing us to catch fire at the right time. So I really can't say enough good things about what he's done for our squad, and you know, he's feeling it, and it's really great for us.
Thanks.
Next up, we'll go to Luke Fox, Sportsnet. Go ahead, Luke.
Justin, I'm guessing scoring's not on your mind when you start a game, but how good does that feel, especially when it's been a while?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, that's not my number one role, but it feels good to contribute offensively, and like you said, it has been a while, so it's actually been a while since I've scored on a goalie. I think my last one was an empty netter, and then it was a while previously before that one. So, yeah, it feels good, and, you know, I'm just happy that we were able to get the win.
Any joking or chirping about the length of the goal drought?
No, everyone's pretty nice about it.
Yeah, okay.
Next up, we'll go to Terry Koshan, Toronto Sun. Go ahead, Terry.
Justin, obviously we see tonight the importance of guys picking it up a bit when, you know, Austin and Mitch aren't on the score sheet, but what does it mean to yourself to contribute in a win like this and see Ilya score his first and Dermot get his first in over a year as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really good for our group because, you know, we obviously rely heavily on our star players and they're bringing it every night. But on the odd night that they are held in check, or say what you will about, or call it what you want, but it's nice to see some secondary scoring, and you know, that's I think that's a good mark of really good teams.
And now that we've seen the shot, can we expect to see it again sometime?
Yeah, exactly. I've uncorked it now, so there's no turning back.
Thanks.
Next up, we'll go to Mark Masters, TSN. Go ahead, Mark.
Justin, can you take us through the thought process? You get the puck, you have time, you're staring down Carey Price. Like, what are you seeing as that unfolds?
Yeah, it was JT gave me the puck, really nice pass, and I was able to find some space. And then I wound up, and right when I wound up, I saw Willie out of the corner of my beaver tail. And so as I came down, I was like, oh, man, Willie's going to want this biscuit, you know. But it ended up going in, and, you know, all's well that ends well.
All right, there you have it, Justin Hall. That audio courtesy of Anthony Stewart's old BlackBerry. Like, it's 2021. Professional millionaire athletes, billionaire teams, let's figure it out. We'll hit the break here, Gordo. We'll come back with Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick after another Maple Leafs victory, 4-3 here in Montreal. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet, 590 The Fan.
We need to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Maple Leafs 4, Canadiens 2. Toronto has won 4 in a row and 8 of 9. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. And the great thing about this year in the 56-game schedule, these two teams back at it, Gord, on Saturday night.
Yeah, we saw with Vancouver 3 in a row. We'll get minimum 2 in a row, it seems, every time. And this, I just wish... take the Via Rail train or take whatever you get and go there and have a fun time in Montreal, just like Montreal Canadian fans come back and have a fun time in Toronto. So now you're talking about two teams that probably or arguably or should be battling it out in the playoffs to get to the Final Four at least.
Neck and neck, no doubt about that. Toronto, the 5-point gap now in the standings. Montreal does have a game in hand as we welcome in for the second time this season. Excuse me. It's Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. And Hockey Night in Canada, CJ, thanks so much for taking the time tonight. What did you make of this 4-2 win?
I thought the Leafs played pretty well, actually. I know that it's one of those ones you can, if you're just looking at the stats page or the shots on goal, you know, probably looks like Montreal dominated. But, you know, I thought Toronto did well to to weather the storm early. You know, the first shot goes in, not usually a sign of what's going to be a good night. But, I sense there's almost, honestly, it's just an attitude about this team or a mindset. They're obviously very confident with reeling off this number of victories and this kind of record earlier in the year. And you know, this is we're going to be measuring, I think, the Leafs and the Habs pretty closely, you know, right through to May 8th when the regular season's due to end. So, you know, this was a bit of a statement win, I think, for Toronto. Not maybe in the way they want it, but just that they found their way through the game and you know, didn't give up too much to Montreal against.
Chris, what I like, and I mentioned that this was supposed to be last year. The Maple Leafs now are in a position that they have no business not being in the playoffs, the kind of team they have. And last year, instead, they got in trouble from the word go, never really got going in the summer. And this it factor, whether it was being down two goals to Montreal the first time, whether it's scoring two goals quickly in a game they got outplayed against Vancouver, or two goals quickly tonight. I mean, there's just that different element about going for the juggler that this particular group's had many things, but never really has had that.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's probably a combination of factors, right? It's not just one thing, but bringing in some of the personalities they did, I think, has helped. You know, we can't look past the fact that Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and all these guys are growing up too. You know, it's another extra year of development and experience and confidence and all those types of things. You know, the Leafs have, you know, despite sort of having a dominant record at 11-2-1, you know, a lot of these games have been one goal games or tied games in the third period where they've had to go out and chase a win. And you know, they've managed to do that a bunch. And I have to think that the team's collective confidence grows through that too. So, you know, they're really on a mission this year. I think that they understand that it's a pretty special opportunity, you know, playing in a division with seven, you know, six other teams and, you know, knowing that one of them is going to get to the third round, you know, guaranteed with the way that the system works. And let's face it, let's call it as it is. They've been freed for a time here from Boston and Tampa, you know, two of the best teams in the league that have, you know, I think, played a huge part in the narrative about them never winning a playoff series or not being able to win a playoff series is the fact that they were playing in a pretty darn tough division before. And, you know, this one, I think, has some more opportunity for them. And so far, they're really seizing on it.
Conversing with Chris Johnson, Maple Leafs win again 4-2 here in Montreal, 11-2-1 in the season. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you on Leafs Nation postgame. We got a dose of Matthews and Marner on the PK. What did you think of that?
I love it. You know, I think if you have two nuclear weapons like that, you want to use them as much as you can. You know, these guys have both been fantastic. You know, I thought Marner maybe the first couple of games were a little slow, and I know Austin didn't score on opening night, but you know, they've been humming, and they've really been the engine that's driving the team. You know, I think that the fact that they've produced as well as they have so consistently in the year has allowed them to win these games where, you know, I think they're still trying to find something on that second line. I mean, it's partly due to the injury situation and all the jockeying, but you know, we haven't really had a permanent winger for Tavares and Nylander yet in this season. And those guys haven't really performed as well 5-on-5 in terms of cashing in chances as you'd like, but you know, it doesn't matter so much when you have Matthews and Marner going. So, you know, obviously Mitch has played a lot of PK for the Leafs the last year or two. You know, I think Austin wants to do it. Makes sense for him to do it, given you know how good he is in the faceoff dot, and you know I think that he also gives the other team something to think about when he's out there. We even saw them have a brief little 2-on-1 there on the one PK shift, and you know I don't think Marner saw Matthews there, but you know wouldn't surprise me if that continues to see some shorthanded goals going off their sticks too.
Boy, that was a greasy warrior type game by John Tavares. You know, gets injured, bloodied, comes back, and he really had a hedge, really had an attitude.
Yeah, my dad texted me. He said, the hockey players are tough, aren't they? I mean, it's true. I mean, seeing Shea Weber fall on you and, you know, hit his head into the ice, he said he lost a lot of blood out of his nose. We saw some of that on the TV broadcast. I mean, you know, was worried when he left, but he came back with a little bit of purpose. I think it was his first shift, you know, the 4-on-4 shift where Dermott scored. After he returned to the game from the dressing room. And, you know, I actually think Tavares is skating pretty well this year. You know, I think that he's someone who's benefited in some ways from the amount of off time that the players have had through the pandemic and everything to heal his body because, you know, I don't think he was ever totally healthy at any point last season. And, you know, the production hasn't been there for him yet at 5-on-5, but you know, I have to believe it's coming because, you know, I think he's playing pretty well. So if you invest in the process, you're probably going to get some results. And you know, we saw tonight that he can take a bit of a beating too and, you know, battle through that as well.
The pride of Coburg, Chris Johnson, our guest here. I have to get to Zach Hyman. Next thing you know, you look up and it's 4-5 and 9 points in 14 games. He's a UFA to be following this season. Do you have any sense of what's happening there when it comes to Zach Hyman and re-upping here?
I don't think a whole lot's happening. You know, this is a unique case, right? You're dealing with a hometown kid, you know, someone who lives in Toronto year-round, I think has a great relationship with management and the coaching staff. I mean, there's no question in my mind that Toronto Maple Leafs value Zach Hyman. You know, the business question that you know, still has to be worked through is, can they afford to pay him, you know, something close to market value with their cap situation? And I think it's going to be tough. You know, with $40 million paid to the top four forwards, there's not a lot of money to pay the next best guy. And he might, at this point, be the next best guy, depending on how you view things. And so, you know, I think at some point Zach's going to probably have to decide where his priorities are exactly. You know, is it maximizing his earning potential on this deal? Because this will probably be, no matter where he signs, and I think it's safe to say, is the richest contract he signs as an NHL player, just given his age and the production he's had these last couple seasons. And so, you know, I don't know if it's going to be in Toronto. It doesn't sound like, you know, it's too active, but as I say, I think it's unique. In that, you know, both sides, you know, there's a lot of good faith there, you know, between them. And so I'm not sure where it's going to end up, but, you know, if the Leafs aren't able to hold on to him, someone's going to be getting a pretty good hockey player because, you know, he's more than earned that next contract, whatever the number ends up being, I think, just because, you know, in the first year, he was sort of known only as a worker bee, and we've seen that he's also got some good talent there. And you know, I think he fits with great players.
Yeah, hometown guy, does more for charity than anybody else, and what a class act, knows everybody's name in media and other things like that. So, you know, just no shortage of things to say. And speaking about hometown people, Chris, what I like is you're younger than me, you're a little bit older than Nick, but just in general, and even talking to guys this morning on The Good Show, they're kind of saying, you know something, I'm tired of old people telling me about the Toronto-Montreal rivalry. There ain't been any rivalry for my whole life, whatever age you happen to be. And that's 100% true. We had a great chance in 1993 almost to get in the Stanley Cup final. Didn't happen. I think it's neat that there's a chance on 2021 new terms for hockey fans to embrace and hopefully enjoy a great geographic rivalry and get to experience, you know, what action and excitement on the ice, which they haven't.
Yeah, I mean, this division is so cool. You know, I'm fully in the tank for it. I love it. I think it's great. I realize there's no perfect setup, no matter how you have your league. And obviously the circumstances that have led to its creation aren't great. But, you know, I it's like I'm binge watching a series right now. I mean, I've pretty much watched every game in the North Division, you know, because there's so little overlap. I mean, you can almost do so on the nights the Leafs aren't playing. I'm watching these other teams. I'm really focused in on them. And I think it's been great to see that. And you know, Montreal-Toronto this year, I mean, I've got a very short career bucket list still that I want to achieve, but one item that's always been on there is a Montreal-Toronto playoff series. And you know, this is the year where my lottery ticket, I've got like four out of the six numbers right so far, and let's hope it continues, just because I think it would be a great spectacle. You know, maybe even if I'm getting greedy, it's the second round, it's June, maybe we can get some fans in the building when we get to that point, let's hope. But even if that's not the case, I think it'd be awesome to see these teams play. And There's you know, there's no reason I think it won't happen. You know, I think Winnipeg is sneaky good. You know, I watched their game last night with Calgary. I think the Flames, you know, with Markstrom and Ned are a formidable opponent. You know, I'm not sure about the Oilers, but, you know, right now Montreal and Toronto have been the class of the division, and we're going to get to see them play, I think, what, seven more regular season games, and then maybe seven more after that.
Yeah, I think the only series comparable for me is Ozark, which was outstanding, no doubt about that. And that continues on. CJ, you're the man. Thanks so much for this. Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. That's Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. But I totally agree on Zach Hyman. I think he deserves anything he wants at this point, Gordo.
Well, I think they agree, but this is, again, yeah, where you get, you know, I've backed off about the cap issues because, you know, even every little bit of money you could free up could have been the difference maker in what you have to offer Zach Hyman, who's really the only key guy. You've got Freddie Anderson, and I'm not knocking Freddie. Freddie is a key guy, but the goaltenders I put in a bit of a different category. But I do know, like Lance Hornby, for example, just says, like, he's just the one guy. He knows everybody's name. He's just polite to everybody, and he's always available, accommodating to everybody. And whenever I hear of a charity thing going on. That's the number one or a community service event. That's the number one name I hear.
Yeah, it's just disappointing. I mean, it is a business, and we'll see where it goes from here. But Zach Hyman playing some excellent hockey for the Maple Leafs, picks up the empty netter in this 4-2 win here against the Montreal Canadiens. Nick Alberga will wrap things up.
Do you think he could get a bump in his Sokolov ads?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that could maybe do it. You never know.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good, very good point. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga at the Golden Muzzy. Gord Stellick will wrap things up after this here on Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave, but we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, concluding things here for another Maple Leafs victory, 4-2 against the Montreal Canadiens. They've won two in a row against the Habs to start the season, eight more. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, and already I can't wait for Saturday night's rematch. Don't forget, Montreal plays tomorrow, I believe, against Vancouver, Gordo.
Yeah, odd quirk that way, and of course, we'll be on 6:30 on Saturday, Leafs Nation pregame, and we have the game once again, a perfect hockey night in Canada.
Feeling it, no doubt about that. This North Division has been outstanding. We hear now from the head coach of the Maple Leafs, Sheldon Keefe.
Sheldon, how good do you feel for Ilya getting his first tonight? And have you had, I noticed Nick Antropov working with him. Have you had some of the other coaches trying to keep his confidence going?
I feel great for him, first of all. He's worked extremely hard, not just in our games. And he's had a ton of chances, and he's really worked. He's maintained his good defensive play, and he's continued to work at his game in practices and off days, development days. So it's nice to see him get rewarded for sure. Yeah, you like to see that.
Next up, we'll go to Mark Masters, TSN. Go ahead, Mark.
Sheldon, John Tavares was talking about the mindset coming out in the third, wanting to have your best period of the season. What did you see from the team that allowed them to eventually grab the upper hand against a quality opponent tonight?
Well, that was our mindset. I mean, it was more just really trying to put at the forefront the fact that it's an important game, one that we want to find our way on, to the right side of, and pushed our guys just to, have a real good start to the period. I thought we had played a fine game, but I don't think we had any real strong pushes, and we wanted that, and I thought we got it. Just thought that we had a little extra jump to start the period. I thought we caught them on their heels a little bit, and we attacked a lot quicker in transition. All those kind of things really helped us there. And I thought we were really good defensively as well. Even when they got the puck there at the start of the third, we created a lot of turnovers and helped us transition. That was a big part of it. And obviously, Justin Hall's slap shot had a lot to do with it too.
Next up, we'll go to Josh Clipperton, Canadian Press. Go ahead, Josh.
On that note, Sheldon, did you know that Justin and Travis had those shots in their tool belts?
Oh, yeah. Of course, no doubt. They only pull it out when it counts the most.
And just the way Freddie held you guys in at certain points. So just talk about his game tonight.
I thought he was good. Obviously, I think he wants to have the first shot back. Took him a little bit to get going in the game, as it did our team. But he was solid after that. A lot of shots coming from the point and from the walls. A lot of stuff gets thrown in, a lot of traffic. Makes it more challenging against this team. At the same time, I think, like we've been talking about all offseason and all through camp, our job is, as a team, is to help Fred out and do a job in front of him. And I thought we did that today. There's a lot of things that I'd like to do better so we can control play a little bit better and more like we did at the start of the third period. But again, defensively today, we didn't give them very much at all. In fact, I had this as the lowest number of scoring chances we gave up in a game all season. So despite some of the volume, I thought our guys did a really good job of protecting the middle of the ice, not giving anything up on men. The first goal, they got in behind us a little bit right at the start of the game, but that was really it. They never got behind us again off the rush. So those were some of the things we talked about as keys for the game coming in, and I thought our players stuck with it. And then Fred was solid for us there.
Take two more. I'll go back to Mark Masters, TSN. Go ahead, Mark.
Sheldon, you mentioned the Hall slap shot. Like, what are you thinking when you see that? Do you see that as a sign of a really confident guy? He was telling us he looked off William a bit. He saw him Bieber tapping a bit in the corner of his eye, but went for it. Like, what do you see when you watch that?
I don't know. I mean, whether he endures, I mean, it's just kind of a parting of the seas. I think it's, you know, in both cases, you know, the defenders and probably the goaltender aren't expecting him to shoot like that and take them on. You know, not often you're going to beat Carey Price with a clean shot like that. But obviously they did, and two great shots at the top of the net and massive goals for us.
Okay, here's Sheldon Keefe, and there's Sheldon Keefe. You know, I thought of a great grand idea. Can we get into Zoom calls, like, during our show and ask a question? Professional broadcaster Gord Stellick.
Yeah, there's a few things we'd like to ask. Hopefully we'll get him at some point. It's interesting. He said that was the fewest scoring chances. Yeah. They keep the stats internally. Fewest scoring chances against in any game this year. And Montreal played well. But like we said, they got a lot of shots, 30-plus shots, but 35 shots. But the Leafs kept them to the outside perimeter, and they kind of made it, okay, you're going to take shots and you're going to get offensive zone possession, but it's going to kind of be on our territory, on the way we want to operate. You're going to do it our way.
Yeah, minimal complaints for me when it comes to defensive point in this Maple Leafs victory, 4-2 here against Montreal. The out-of-town scoreboard, just one other game on this Wednesday happening on Broadway, and it's Brad Marchand, the OT winner in a game. Julien Gauthier scores his first NHL goal for the Rangers.
Yeah, Julien Gauthier was a first-round pick of the Carolina Hurricanes. It never really happened there, so he bounced around a bit, a 26 games or something before getting his first goal. So,
wow.
But Brad Marchand, like, hey, come on, don't you score in the final 30 seconds, not the first 30 seconds of overtime. Isn't that the Bruins' credo of late? But
crazy, the type of role they've been on with all this.
Them, the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Vegas Golden Knights, like there's some teams up there with the Toronto Maple Leafs in the other divisions. There's some teams getting off to phenomenal starts. And no surprise, those are the Atlantic Division rivals. And that next year, I'm sure that we'll be back to the status quo, and those are the teams you're going to have to try to go through.
Maybe next year will be Buffalo's year. Probably not. That's certainly my biggest takeaway from this game tonight, is just the pianos off the back of Ilya Mikheyev to an extent. They get Justin Hall and Travis Dermott, his first in 405 days. Soupy's first in 411. Great news for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I do remember someone talking about the Buffalo Sabres. Their chances this year would be better if they relocated to Hamilton, right, and got in the Canadian division. They're in a tough division this year, but all of a sudden, yes, not Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander. It's the kind of like last night. The Edmonton Oilers had Tyson Barrie and Ethan Bear and someone like three defensemen scored for them as well. It wasn't Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. So you got to find different ways to win games, and the Maple Leafs certainly came up with a different one tonight.
And again, we invite all Leafs Nation pregame 6:30 on Saturday night. Gord, we do this all over again, this time from Scotiabank Arena. We won't be there, but the Leafs and Habs will be.
Yeah, and someday, like Chris Johnson said, hopefully some fans will be there, because these are the best things with the fans in the building. But the Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens, even though the Canadiens lost tonight, doing quite well with no fans in the building for now.
I thought you were going to say you and I would be at Scotiabank Arena. We're probably far away from that.
I don't know. We'll
never
see.
Know.
Hopefully, if Chris Johnson gets in, we're getting in.
Very well said. A 4-2 win here for the Leafs against the Habs for Sam McKee, Danielle Furtado, and Josh Santos, and Gord Stellick, of course. I'm Nick Alberga. Leafs win again, 4 in a row, 8 of 9. We'll talk Saturday.